Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today, Tuesday, November 24th, 2009, on this special Thanksgiving week edition of the A-List, I am delighted to be joined by a Frenchman, Dominique Lay, co-founder and CEO of social media marketing software eCairn. Hello, Dominique.
Hello.
Very glad to welcome you. Oh, absolutely. We want to first, for those that may not know, give you an opportunity to tell us a bit more about your software solution and the problem that it aims to solve.
Okay, so as you said earlier, so we have built a social media marketing solution. So one of the characteristics of our solution is that we actually focus on communities and influencers. So that's the spin that we have taken on social media marketing. So we believe that the big paradigm shift on the web nowadays is the rise of communities. So what we actually do is we enable brands and marketing agencies to map the communities, find out who the key voices and key influencers are, and then both listen, learn, and engage with this community. So people use our solution in different type of contexts, so sometimes in market research. So as an example, we have people, brand in a, let's take in a high-tech or in a luxury area that would focus very deep in a specific community and do research, finding out what are the new topics that are emerging in this area, who are the new people.
Mm-hmm.
Some other people use us for brand awareness and influence generation.
So you recently did a webinar that talked about your solution, and I think that you had some case study examples as part of that, if I'm correct.
Yes.
You want to tell us about that webinar?
Yes, so we did a webinar on influencer and community marketing because, we definitely think that communities is the core new ideas in the web. So what we did in the webinar is explain what people could get by mapping communities, identifying influencers, and how they could leverage this community not only for marketing to these communities, meaning doing buzz, outreach, or learning from these different communities, but also leveraging the insights that they get from the community to transform all their different marketing process, so whether to understand which type of ads to provide to this community or another, or which kind of keywords to be done for this community or another. So it's actually, mapping the community and understanding the influencer is critical, but what you do with the knowledge and the intelligence that we get from that is where really the benefits are. So we did a few examples in the webinar, and we have published a few examples on the webs.
Mm-hmm.
We have published three examples, because you've got communities on many different areas. So the first example that we have published is that we have compared the perception of both Amazon and Microsoft in the cloud computing community. So
mm-hmm.
in order to do that, using our solution, we have mapped this community of the cloud computing people. And here we are talking about 500, 600, 700 key people that keeps talking about cloud computing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difficult part. And when this is done, then it opens the opportunity for lots of different type of stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So within that specific community, we've been able to show what the share of voice of Amazon and Microsoft were, but also what we call the share of mind, meaning out of the top influencers in that community, do they all talk about Amazon and Microsoft? So we can see in that study that, for example, Microsoft is not talked by some very key influencer in cloud computing, which is, probably something that they should work on, and so on and so forth. And other thing that we have been able to do is, since we work within a community. So that's become very clean in terms of the content that we get. Okay, mm-hmm. So we don't have the noise issues that many other solutions based on search paradigm have. And since the data are that clean, we can then do text mining, intelligence extraction, and so on and so forth. So in the study, we have, for example, shown that when people talk about Amazon in the cloud computing community, and when they talk about Microsoft in the cloud computing community, they talk about different things. So, we can see which topics Amazon owns, which is very important from a marketing and positioning standpoint, and which topic Microsoft owns, respectively.
So
we have done that for, Amazon and Microsoft in the cloud computing community, but we have also published examples in the beauty community with Lancôme and Clinique, and in the personal finance.
Us women, I think some of us, anyway, the girly girl ones like me, love seeing those examples because you don't see them that often.
Yeah. Better than my accent, you figured out that I was French, we have a bunch of clients in Paris, and most of our clients in Paris are a few of them are in the luxury area.
Right. I have to tell people that, Dominique, you and I know each other, and that, you said that when you go to visit, Chanel offices, the women get products and you don't get anything.
Exactly, yeah.
I'd like to have that problem. But going back to your case study about cloud computing, I think it's fascinating that you actually had a finding that Microsoft wasn't being talked about by certain key influencers that you would expect that they should have been, that should have been talking about them. So the webinar happened, I think, a week ago?
Last week, yeah.
And you've certainly been circulating data points like this that really show how your solution gets into online conversation and really takes a look at how to reach these, how to find, first of all, the key influencers and then how to reach them. Have you had any companies, whether it's Microsoft or someone else, that's come to you as a result of your findings yet?
We didn't get any inquiries from the people that we have mentioned in this study yet. So we have, we work mainly through agencies, okay? So some of our clients, we have some direct clients, but very few, and we work mainly through agencies, and some of these agencies have Microsoft as a client, as you can imagine. But we didn't get any direct feedback from either Microsoft or Amazon. So we have had some inquiries from other brands. Similar.
Well, tell us about that.
So what's interesting is that this study shows actually what you can do with community and influencer marketing, and it's much more easy to understand it with a study than with a tool. So far, what we have been demonstrating and pitching to clients was the software solution.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we have published a few studies, like the Amazon one, we have had some, brand managers or agency people coming back to us. Even people that we had pitched before and asking, how do you do that? This is mainly the question that these people come with. So how do you do that? Because they usually have used other solutions, meaning search-based solution, which are very good and very useful for certain purpose. But with the search paradigm, you cannot get to this level of quality and in the community mapping and influencer identification. I mentioned that these people were not talking about Microsoft. It's very difficult to search for something that doesn't exist. Okay, when you use Google or any of the social media marketing or monitoring solution, you're gonna find something you cannot search for the absence of something. That's not something that you can do. So unless you map these people and you listen to them, whatever they say, you can discover that, I mean, they don't talk about you. So
right. So there's been a, I know that part of your solution, so we should say that you can definitely access the webinar if you want to listen to it. And I should say that the three sample industry influencer reports for brands were Amazon and Cloud Computing, Lancome and Beauty and Cosmetics, and Lending Club and Personal Finance, which I know you guys have been working on for some time. But one of the unique pieces I know to the way that your conversation product, which is the product that actually does the monitoring, works, is really trying to find what you call clean data, right? So you're you're trying to really cull into, you know, so rather than, so you talked a little bit about this, and I'd love you to explain a little bit more to people that might not be aware. So people that are using Google search or that might be using other solutions that plug into typical search, you know, blog searches, how your product is different in terms of the cleaning up data, you know, so getting rid of links from blog catalog, for example.
Yeah, so, I mean, the key solution in the industry, I mean, are people like Radian6, Scott's Lab, SM2, SysOmos, Visible Technology. I mean, we all know them. So what these people do, they index the entire social media space, okay, mm-hmm. and then they provide you with a search engine, and from the result of the search, they build up some intelligence. So one way or the other, they infer influencers, and they give you trends, and so on and so forth. So we have a different approach. So, we approach this from the people standpoint, not from the keyword. It's different because what we believe is what the point listening to the entire social media space. I mean, it can be controversial, but why would you know everything that every mention of the IT security topic in the social media? Because out of these thousands and thousands and of mentions, not all people are the same. So you've got two choices. Either you want to go for everything, and you end up being spreading your attention to, I mean, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people without really having an impact, okay? Or you do it differently, which is the way we do it, which is you find out who matters, who are the key 1,000 people that are critical for cloud computing, security, beauty, mommy blogger, art gaming, I mean, name it. You have got communities almost on everything nowadays. And then you focus your energy on listening to these guys, on developing your relationship and your trust with these guys. Because, I mean, if you start listening to, let's say, anybody on earth that talk about IT security, you're never going to develop relationship because you're going to eat them once every, I mean, 3 months, 6 months. So that's for us not, I mean, that's not the paradigm that we implement in the community and influencer marketing. Does that make sense? Or?
Yeah, and I think that brings up an interesting point that, you know, in terms of feedback that I get a lot of times when I go in and try to find or looking for key influencers, just, you know, as a basic audit, you know, at a very basic level. But we know that forums, for example, can be very influential depending on the brand that you're looking at or the vertical market that you're looking at. So how does one actually get to the point of having a conversation when we find that the conversation of influence is really happening in a forum? And you're kind of an external entity, you know, hopefully, you know, if I were to go in, I would represent the community, but there is that trust factor when you're within a space like that, that, you know, there's the perception that what you're saying is kind of guarded in a way. So I know that you guys have made inroads in being able to, you know, make suggestions about how to, you know, basically dive into these communities. Do you have particular ways that you recommend doing that in terms of listening or engaging? What's the first step when it's a, like, say, a forum?
So, I mean, we have some level of coverage of forums, and but one of the issues with forums is that, let's say, these media are not really associable to a specific influencer or not. So you may have hundreds and hundreds of people writing in a forum. So we definitely are much better when the influencers are either are owning their own channel, meaning blogs, Twitter, this kind of setup. In forums, I mean, we don't really differentiate comparing to the other solutions. So we are able to spot the conversation in a forum. We are not able yet to link a specific conversation to a specific influencer. So what we have seen, however, is that in almost every community, the key voices, because again, I mean, we focus on the key voices, so it's always between a few hundred to a few 10,000, I would say, in any given domain. These people, I mean, who are influencers in a domain, they tend to write a blog because it's kind of their basis of operation. So that's where they build their own personal branding. That's where they monetize from time to time. That's where that's where they develop their deep content, which is they cannot do in Twitter. So I mean, that's kind of a bet that we have taken, is that in all these different communities, the key people end up developing rich content in a blog. So it doesn't work 100%, that's clear. But, I mean, it works for a solid number of brands and domains.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the most surprising things you've found? So your solution's been around for how long?
Almost a year. Almost a year.
And so
I mean, we have had some beta before, but I mean, our real solution has been around, I mean, since early January this year.
And we should say that solution is called Conversation. So you're monitoring.
Yes, Conversation.
Conversation.
Yes.
So the Conversation product, since you've started with your co-founder, Laurent, who I've worked with in the past, what are some of the things that have surprised you the most?
You mean in terms of market or in terms of what we have found using the solution?
I think in terms of what you found in the solution, you know, things that you thought would you know, definitely be one way or definitely lean another.
Well, one of the things that we found is that communities are much more complex than what people can see. And, I mean, we spend a lot of time on the beauty community, so working with clients on the beauty community. And, I mean, diving into this community, we ended up figuring out that these were multiple communities talking about the same topic. But this was very, I mean, we didn't expect that, from the beginning. So we ended up mapping communities of women in the luxury area, so that, I mean, the beauty area, but fascinating by the luxury product, I would say. So they talk about brand, they talk about the new release of perfume or so on and so forth. So that's one. But you've got many other communities, sometimes very dynamic, like, green, do-it-myself community, still in the skincare and beauty area. Which, I mean, we were very surprised to have that many people talking about, how can I build my own cosmetics and gift to a blogger friend and so on and so forth. So I think the diversity of communities is clearly something that that we learned down the road, and which was kind of surprising.
Uh-huh.
We also, other thing that we learned is that it's still not yet stabilized. There are still not yet stabilized method and process to get a return out of that. So, I mean, you have some rules, like you've got to map the community, you've got to build a strategy, because you need to know what you're going to end up getting out of the effort. You get to spot the key people. You get to know your messages, all the traditional marketing stuff. But it doesn't work all the time. So, I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And we have worked as an example for a credit card company sometimes now. And, being able to actually spot what community would resonate with the product that they had, I mean, that was a very painful process, and it's still a very painful process. And also, we did similar project, clients did similar project using the exact same methods. The results were completely different. So, it's not just about product, clearly. Community marketing is a new discipline, I would say, and there's still a lot of learning that people have to, we'll find over time by trying and trying again. And sometimes it just works wonderful, and sometimes, it doesn't work that good.
So give me an example of a where it didn't work that good, and you learned and took away, and you're doing something different as a result.
So the credit card is kind of a good example. So we were very. Very straightforward in the beginning. So we had a credit card product. So we said, we're going to try to map the personal finance community, and then we're going to go into this personal finance community and work with the client. And the client start to push his own differentiation. So explain why his product was different, and so on and so forth. But credit cards are not that sexy, and the reaction from the community, so whether we tried buzz, we tried almost everything. So we tried buzz, outreach, advertising. The results were okay, but not as good as what people would get doing just, plain advertising with paid search, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to step back and up to rethinking the product, meaning what the credit card was really about, which type of community, how could that be possible to twist the marketing message so that to make it, more appealing for this or this other community. And we're still working on this project, and we've gone a long way, but it's when you've got such kind of products like credit card or which are very, I would say, commodity, it can take sometimes and some creativity in order to transform it into something that makes sense for a community. So specifically for this example, the marketing people at the credit card company, they are making it into a something that's appealing for the frugal community, which is a very dynamic community. And we are going over, restarting on this with a specific focus on the frugal community. So with, listening to different people, buzzing to different places, and so. So it's not yet a success, but it's a very interesting learning experience. Is that for this type of product, you've got to take the community marketing into account, even from the design of the product and of the message.
Yeah, and I know that when I worked with you, we were able to give you feedback, and that was often either being incorporated or we saw things being incorporated. That's quite exciting, I think, to be able to see that happen. I want to move over to a blog post that you guys published back in April about what's being discussed in social media marketing blogs, because I think that, most of this audience will be able to relate to some of these topics and maybe have expectations about what is being talked about. So, for example, what the ROI is of social media in general. That was in the top five topics, and you have this great chart that breaks that out. Is there anything that, you know, that you see since April that people are talking about in terms of social media marketing that you're tracking or that seems to be a trend that's coming up more that hasn't been the case in the past?
So, I mean, we do monitor the social media marketing community very closely. It's actually the way we market ourselves. So we monitor something around 1,200 social media blogs, I mean the key blogs in English, and a bunch of social media blogs in other languages as well, so the one that we can understand. And by the way, we regularly publish our top 150. And I mean that's actually how we fine tune our algorithm. I mean because we have publishing this top 150, we made sure that our algorithm was very solid because the feedback that we got on this top 150. It's always, very good.
Yep, and so we should say a few of those names before we go too far. So we've got number one is Chris Brogan, two, Jeremiah Oyang, Brian Solis, Armano, what's his first name?
David?
Call into the show. Steve Rebell, Todd Defrin's in the list, Seth Godin, Bob Fogel, the names that you would sort of expect to see. And this is a November report, so it's very, very up to date. So you see people like Darren Rouse, who I think is it from ProBlogger, who I think, and also TwitTip, who is I think a really bright mind out there. Katie Payne comes in at 44. Beth Cantor, who we had on the show recently, is there as well. So any other thoughts on, continue along that stream? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to let people know that, the top 50 is who you'd expect, but it's interesting to see who comes in exactly where.
Yeah, we have learned, I don't recall any very recent, trends that I can share, right on the top of my mind. What we have seen as an example is, personal branding was very strong at one point in time, and it's now less. What we have seen as well, which is kind of interesting as well, is that in the social media marketing area, the top blogs and the top influencers are people. So you see very few, sites, newspaper type of site, or even, search engine land and so on and so forth. Whereas if you move to domains like SEO, because we are also monitoring the SEO community, you've got a lot of, organization blogs, that make the top of the list, which is not the case in social media. So, we have also added, capabilities to map, physically map, who is connected to who and cluster. That's also very interesting. When you start to map the list of the social media bloggers, so you see who is related to whom, and you can find the former Forrester networks as an example, which show up on the map. So, these are a couple of things that we have been able to see in the recent past.
So yeah, excuse
me.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
I just think it's really interesting to see, kind of where everybody ranks, especially if you, are following, part of the analyst community. Obviously, Jeremiah has been huge in bringing forward web strategy and some ways of thinking about kind of the work that someone like myself does for a living in unique ways. Brian Solis thinking about it sort of from an agency perspective. Chris Brogan, same way with some major thought leadership in the publishing that he's done. But I think the way that some of the other names fall in the list is interesting as well, in terms of, who associates with what. So as you were saying, I think the top five all know each other probably pretty well or would link to each other at least so that you could find the relationship in their blog role, for example. But when you have someone like, you know, for example, Beth Cantor, who is huge in the nonprofit world and is such a wonderful resource and person for those working with nonprofits, she may or may not end up on the blog roll of those in the top five, but is hugely influential. So how do you, one question I'd have for you is, that's this list seems to be unique in the sense that compared to other lists that I've seen recently, it does take into account others that may not logically be on the blog rolls of one another. So yes. How did you find or rank her in the top 50 compared to the ones at the top that are thinking about social media in maybe a more typical marketing sense?
So the reason why she makes it to the top 50 is that she's frequently quoted or in the blog roll, as you said, in other people who in the blogs of other people who are highly influenced. So she managed to get, let's say, referenced by these people and quoted by these people very often, which is why, I mean, she's that up in our list. So we also have a list of non-profit and social blog, and she's already very high up in the list in that list as well.
Yeah, hopefully so, I mean, number one.
Find and rank, I mean, are two different issues. So we find her because she's talking about social media. So we've got I mean some engine that looks for the relevant people on a given domain, and this makes both topic analytics and topological analytics and some other proprietary stuff. And ranking is then based on cross references. So, and again, I mean, we differentiate between blog roll, reciprocal links, or just direct links. I mean, and that is, by the way, the top 150. I mean, we had a huge, for us, a huge level of readership on that list. I mean, we get probably something around 15,000 viewers already, I mean, for this list. I mean,
And
I mean, you were mentioning when things that were, that really surprised us. And I remember when we first published that list, okay? And, I mean, usually, I mean, at that time, we were almost completely unknown, I would say. Okay, so and I mean we were publishing two posts a week. That was our rate of posting at that time. And always we would have 10 to 20 people that would visit the article, you know, on the next day or within the next 24 hours. And I remember, I mean, when I hit the key to publish this list, when I was back, we had already a few hundreds, and I mean, I knew that something was happening. And I mean, in a matter of days, we get thousands of visitors, and we got comments. I mean, if you look at the initial list from all these top bloggers, and again, I mean, they had the same reaction that the agency or brand manager that I mentioned before. They wanted to know how we were doing that. So I mean, that's one of the surprises that we got, I would say. We did another interesting stuff, just by accident, I would say, weeks ago. So, I mean, being European, I mean, we watch soccer, and we published the map of the Premier League soccer blogosphere, okay? And, I mean, nothing happened for, we published that in our blog, and nothing happened for a week or two, and suddenly, I mean, we were picked up by a few blogs in this community, and for days, I don't know whether it's still the case, but when you were typing Arsenal social media, I mean, we were on the top of the list without having spent any marketing dollar. So that was funny.
Which is always a nice thing to happen, right, when you publish information. One thing I wanted to ask you, anytime you put together a list, and obviously looking through this list, it comes up. I'm not sure if Leo Laporte is on the list or not. I would imagine that he's on here someplace, but I'm not seeing him super high. So I think about people that, you know, that I know from the communities that I work in, certainly. But, you know, this is true of any industry where you could have people that are maybe they're thought leaders even, but it's actually their work is not represented by words. It's represented, let's say, by images, or, you know, we're on a podcast right now. There's not a ton of text around it. How do you include and factor in? So, you know, you may or may not have included one of maybe the most predominant or a very predominant podcaster in the list, who's certainly out there speaking, but if the text is not available, it's hard to figure out where they fit in. Did anybody in any list that you've created, and this is just across businesses, have you had, you know, the issue of including video, images, and audio, things that are not text-based?
In fact, I mean, we rely mainly on the links. So let's say that you've got a podcast site, okay? So there is chances that you're going to put a little bit of words within your site in order to be found by search engines. Mm-hmm. So that's probably enough for us to spot your blog or your podcast site. And then, you fall into the same category. So if you publish podcasts and Jeremiah and Chris Brogan and Beth Cantor and all these, all these people link to your podcast, you're going to make the top of the list. So there is nothing really different with us managing podcasts or podcast sites. What may be different, however, is that I don't know whether whether people link to podcasts that often comparing to linking to other blogs. So this, it's more the way that the community behaves. So if the people building podcasts may be disadvantages if the practice in the community, like in the social media community, is that people less often link back to podcasts. From an algorithm standpoint, it shouldn't matter. So
I think about, the reason that I thought of that question, I should tell you the background. So the reason I thought about that was, for example, Brian Solis, part of the reason that I personally love his blog and the posts that come out of it is because I think that, and I will tag things in Google Reader all the time as, you know, maybe I don't even care about the post, but I love the picture, or I love the image, or I happen to be into data visualization, so I'll tag things for that reason. And so he has in the past worked with a creative agency called Jesse, right, J-E-S-S with the number 3. Now, for many of his posts, now maybe not all of them, but let's say there's someone out there that's using an image to go with their text, and the image is as important as the text. But they're not necessarily linking to that group or anything, but it might be the most compelling part of their blog. Their blog is being linked to, and their name or brand is being associated with it. But how are you looking at things like that for the future? Because it seems to me that is a bit of a challenge. So you wouldn't find Jesse, if I'm saying the name of the agency right, if I'm not, please someone Twitter in and correct me. But that agency you might not find as, like, if you were doing a top list of influential agencies. But I think it actually, you know, would absolutely need to be there because of how important the kinds of things that they're producing are on certain blog posts, for example.
Okay. So I'll have to double check that. But I mean, if I understand correctly, I mean, this agency is producing mainly video or images.
I'm just using them as an example because Brian Solis is in the top 3, and he's used them before, and they've worked together on some projects that have produced posters and other things. And they do data visualization as one of the pieces of the pie. So when Brian, you know, on his blog would talk about at a particular period of time the way to think about the social web and would have images related to that that would help you think about it. It would be really less about the text and much more about the image. So in cases like that, and I can think of industries that are like that. So you think about, art galleries that, have huge names, or even auction houses, right? And you start looking at those kinds of industries. And I'm sure that there are others that I'm not thinking of where they have a huge business interest in promoting more the image of something, whether it be photography or another element, than they do really going deep into text. It seems to me that that's probably a challenge. Would you say that that's a challenge moving forward?
I remember that, I remember that Common Craft, which you might know, was making the top. So I don't know where it is now, but in one of our previous lists, I remember having seen Common Craft. I mean, these are people that do extremely nice videos about explaining YouTube videos that explain, how everything works. So from RSS to social media marketing to lots of different things. And, they don't publish text at all. So, there are two parts in our algorithm. So finding them is probably a challenge, okay? But mm-hmm. ranking them should be the same as with any other site. If their content is frequently referenced by the key people in that community, there is no reason why they would not make the top. So, but finding them, you're right. Finding them can be of an issue. So depending on how they structure their own content in order for it to be found.
Right. And the one thing about this agency in particular is, and people may, I'll say this so people can maybe catch on to what I'm talking about. If you go to theconversationprism.com, they created, it's called The Art of Listening, Learning, and Sharing. They created that poster. So that was sort of the entry point for me to dig down and go, who did this? This is awesome. This is great and helps you visualize kind of the work, that some of us are out there doing. But, it makes me start thinking about those sorts of things because, for example, Leo Laporte isn't on the 150 list. And I know for my own podcast, sometimes the effort of, actually scheduling people and making sure that everybody's ready to go and they know when they're supposed to be calling in and all that kind of thing, and then also working on your business as a project – my descriptions lack. So I'll spend time on my descriptions on my blog more than I do on Blog Talk Radio. Sorry, Blog Talk Radio. But, it's one or the other, and so I sort of use the same text. So if you're relying on the text, if in any practicum, it seems like you're still going to have that issue of finding them, to your point.
Yeah, you're right. So, we're going to have an issue in finding them, which is, by the way, a shared issue, because if we have an issue of finding them, they have the issue of being found.
Absolutely. And all of us, I think that it's definitely something that, has to cross my mind, and anyone that works in a visual industry or an audio industry, how are we found? How do we show up in searches? So, that's certainly part of the effort, hopefully, that goes into my blog, but I need to do a better job of the Blog Talk Radio piece. And it would be the same, too, for your competitors as well, especially if they're relying more strictly on search, because one of the differences in your product is that you do spend more time going through the links, looking at the conversations, and making sure that they're relevant manually, almost.
And
you do offer that service. And that's different than, say, Radian 6, which is much more keyword-based, as you mentioned before. So how do you see yourself in terms of the benefit of your type of service compared to others? Because I'm not going to say, what do you think is your unique selling point? Would you say it is the data that I'm talking about, that it's very clean, or how would you articulate that?
So, we think that where we differentiate is the ability to know who matters. And, from this core differentiation, a lot of very nice side effects come along. So, the data are clean, so you can actually build intelligence on top of it. You have identified, in an 80-20 type of rule, the people on which you should focus. So in terms of potential ROI for outreach or buzz, it's clearly a differentiation. And also, this intelligence that you can get from mapping and listening to a specific community, as I said, I mean, has a potential of leverage to transform much more of your marketing and advertising process than just social media marketing. So we see that, I mean, the social media monitoring solution, I mean, this was the initial reaction of the on the market when they saw social media. That, well, I mean, we don't know what this social media stuff is. What do we say about us? And, I mean, the fear was the real motivation for people to jump into. And, I mean, and they did a good job at monitoring, I mean, share of voice overall in social media. But actually, I mean, we think that there is much more to be done with the community, and but it takes more time, and it takes, let's say, more effort as well. But you've got to start by building a strategy, being clear on who are the community that matters, and then and that map these and focus your social time, quote, with these guys who have. I mean, we read everywhere that these are the ones that are highly influential on how products are purchased, on how brands are known. So you've got to leverage them. So listening to them is one thing, but you've got to leverage them. You've got to spot. They are trend makers, so if you don't listen to them, you're never going to know what's coming next. So, I mean, that's where we see the big differentiation of our solution comparing to just quote-unquote, the search engine-based solution. Having said that, the search engine-based solution have a huge potential in customer support, which we are not appropriate at all. So, I mean, I would not recommend people using conversation, I mean, e-can conversation, I mean, for customer support or such kind of processes. We are really a marketing solution. And for people that want to go deep, high quality, and deep intelligence that they can reuse to, I mean, really have an impact on communities and on their market.
Well, very good. I think that gives people a really good sense of what you're about, and I think you do hold a really unique spot in the marketplace. And I think for those that don't know the product, they should definitely check out your website. They can go to jenniferlindsay.com to find your website, link to the webinar that you just recently did, which has also links to the three case studies we talked about, the list of influencers and social media that we talked about, and all other kinds of really interesting information. And I thank you for continuing the dialogue about this, Dominique, because I think you're really on the cutting edge of something that's so important for us to try to understand and put a methodology around.
Thank you.
And
thank
I
you.
Appreciate you being on the show.
Yes, thank you. And I wish you and everybody a nice Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, thank you very much. So that was Dominique Lay, who is the CEO and co-founder of eCairn, which has the product called Conversation that we've been talking about. And I want to thank him for joining us on the podcast, and thank you as well for listening. If you've enjoyed the program, we'd love it if you'd be so kind as to friend us or add it to your favorites here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to tune in next week when we're back to our regular schedule, and our guest is Shell Holtz, who is in the list of top influencers, and he's with, of course, Holtz Communication and Technology, and from many other past interesting things that he's done. That's Friday, December 4th at 12 noon Pacific, Shell Holtz. We want to hear from you, so please start tweeting in or Facebooking in your questions now for Shell and other guests that we have coming up to our Twitter handle or Facebook page now. I should note that we will be live at Le Web Conference in Paris, France on December 9th and 10th. So be sure to stay tuned to the blog and to our Blog Talk Radio page for updates on shows coming live from France. And you can keep up with all of that and more at jenniferlindsay.com. For everyone listening, have a fantastic holiday week and travel safe if you're traveling for the holiday. Take care. Bye-bye.